Welcome back. You're here with Dave and No Faisal today. Andrew was with us earlier. He's had to step out right now. And it's going to be myself and Jamie Golenbach. We're going to talk a little bit about taxes. I mean, Faisal, Andrew, and I often talk about the importance of proper tax planning. Most of us are not experts in tax, but the implication, you know, you need somebody on your team that is, because there are so many rules and so many things that we need to know to be able to take advantage of properly in our preparation of our taxes to make sure that you maximize the benefit for yourself. Now, Jamie Golenbach is the Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. He's a regular contributor to our show. And Jamie, listen, I want to welcome you back. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
I want to talk about interest deductibility. So if you take a loan for the purposes of investment, okay, whether that's investment for, income or business investment for income, there is a provision that allows you to write off the expense, the interest expense on that. So can you just, from a high-level perspective, give us what the tax law says about this? And then there's a specific case that you wrote about this this past week that I want to talk about.
Sure, absolutely. So the general rule, I think as most people would know, is that if you borrow money and you use that money for the purpose of investing or to start a business or even use it in business operation, you can deduct the interest. And the logic behind that, the policy reason, is because you're incurring an expense to basically generate taxable income. So in other words, you're borrowing money to buy shares. Those shares pay dividends. Then, of course, you're including the dividends as income, and you can write off the interest expense. So that's a rule that's been around for a long time. It's very common in the business world, certainly, when companies borrow money and they borrow on debt and they're writing off the interest expense against their net income. But on the individual retail level, for investors, if we're using a margin account and we're investing, then that margin interest is tax deductible. If you're using a line of credit and that line of credit is being used for investments, and then we're able to deduct that interest on our tax return.
Now, just from a sort of mechanics perspective, Jamie, you have to be able to show the linkages between this, correct? So it has to be fairly clean. How do you suggest people, you know, when they borrow to do that, if they're mixing it with other things that they've used their line of credit for? What do they need to be aware of?
Yeah, well, they're very, very careful. You've got to be very careful when it comes to the tracing. The courts have been very clear that you've got to show a direct tracing. So it's not good enough to say, oh, I've got a loan over here for $100,000, I've got $100,000 investment, so therefore, theoretically, I should be writing off my interest. That's not good enough. You actually have to show that the physical loan proceeds were used to buy investments. So on a margin account, it's very simple. You borrow on margin, you buy the investment, you're done. If you're using a line of credit, you better make sure there's nothing else in that line of credit. And what we recommend people to do is if they've got a line of credit, typically on a home, let's say that's a secured line of credit, we tell people to bifurcate. In other words, divide that line of credit into two. Most financial institutions will do that. I know that we do it at CIBC. You can have the same line of credit divided into two subaccounts. So that one of them you could use for home renovations. These are non-deductible interest type expenses. But the other account you use solely for the purpose of investing, and you write off your interest. CRA is very, very particular. They want to see a paper trail. They want to see the check going from the loan account into the investment account to be able to, if they ever look at it, uphold your interest deductibility.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so establishing that, sometimes the investments we make don't work out the way we want them to work out. So let me propose a situation where it's either a business or it's an investment that you borrowed for and it didn't quite go the way you wanted to. My question to you is, can you continue the interest deductibility on the money that you borrowed for that investment into the future, even if that investment no longer exists or the business, you know, is defunct or is not around?
Quick answer is yes. I mean, believe it or not, it's not intuitive, because you think that if you're borrowing money for earning income and you can no longer ever earn income because the investment has gone belly up or the business has gone bankrupt, that you wouldn't be able to deduct the interest. That's not true. There is a rule that came into place, I believe it was in 1994 or so, that sometimes I call it the Briex rule. If anyone remembers the Briex gold mining issue back in the 90s, where basically it turned out to be a falsified gold reports and the company went bankrupt at the end of the day. But in other words, the example I like to give is if you borrowed money to invest in Briex, and that loan is still outstanding today, you can still write off the interest because of the rule in the income tax called the loss of source rule. And the loss of source rule says if the original intention of the loan and then that loan was used for the purpose of earning income, whether it's investment income or business income, then even if that investment goes to zero or you wind down that business, if that loan is still outstanding, you're still paying interest, that interest is still tax deductible.
Now, sometimes CRA, questions these things, but this loss of source rule has been tested recently in a case that you wrote about.
That's right. So, yeah, very briefly, I just wrote an article about a recent case in the last month or so about an individual had a business, and effectively he shut down his business and became an employee somewhere else. But what he did is, while he was running his business, it was really an accounting firm, and he was running it as a sole proprietor. And he paid for all the expenses, the rent, the office supplies, travel from his line of credit. And I think he hit around $90,000 a line of credit. And then what happened, he ultimately shuttered the business. But he still had the line of credit. So 10 years later or so, he's still writing off the interest. CRA challenges it, saying, well, you know, we're not sure some of those expenses are valid. And the judge is like, we don't care about the expenses. That was 10 years ago. You didn't audit the expenses 10 years ago. We're auditing the interest today. The money was borrowed for the purpose of earning investment income, and therefore you can continue to write off the interest. And so we won the case. And it just shows you that the courts are looking favorably towards the rule, and if it's done properly and you've dotted the I's, crossed the T's, showed the direct tracing, as we talked about before, then you should still be able to write off the interest on that loan if the original purpose was to earn investment or business income.
Yeah, and then it goes back, I think, to the comment you made earlier. It's really important that it's properly documented, right? There's a paper trail. Ultimately, if you get challenged on these things by CRA and you need to fight this, you've got to have proper documentation. It's got to be clear line of sight where they can see the money moving for the purposes that it's intended against the write-off. And I don't think we can add much more to that. It's critical that people keep accurate records. If they're applying the rules properly, if they don't have those accurate records, it can be called into question and denied.
Well, that's right. And I'll just give you one final tip. I mean, this goes for the mortgage too. People say, oh, can't write off mortgage interest in Canada. Can't do it, right? And I say, well, depends. And what if you have some investments and you also have a mortgage? Well, I'm paying interest on my mortgage. I also have investments, so I should be able to write it off. Well, again, there is a technique that you can do. You can do a swap. And what we sometimes tell people is if you have non-registered investments and you have a mortgage, why don't you sell your non-registered investments, depending on the tax consequences of selling it. You might have capital gains tax, depends on that situation.
Yeah.
And then pay off the mortgage, then get a secured line of credit against the home and buy back those same investments. And what you've done effectively is made your mortgage interest tax deductible. But again, the tracing is important. That's what we already talked about. You can't just say notionally, well, I've got some mortgage interest, I've got some investments, I can write it off. That does not work. You've got to show the direct tracing, as we've said.
Jamie, I want to thank you again for your time and taking complex tax and putting it in English for us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been joined by Jamie Golombek, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. We're going to talk more about tax. Tax impacts almost every aspect of our retirement, certainly from a financial perspective. And I might even argue that for most people, tax is going to be the single biggest expense item that they face throughout their entire their retirement. So we've got to be savvy about this. Planning's important. And as Jamie said, obviously specific to the case he was talking about, but it has to be structured properly so that there's clear line of sight should you ever be challenged on even the rules that are in place, because the CRA will do that. Anyways, that's part of what we're going to talk about. I mean, this whole complex notion of transitioning to and living in retirement, how tax impacts us, that's the educational purpose behind our seminar. Our next one is coming up on Tuesday, August the 20th. Now, it's at 7 o'clock. It's 1 hour. It's going to be held at the Carriage House Inn for all of you Calgarians and people south of Calgary. We'd love to see you there. You need to give us a call to register for that at 966-8400. That's 403-966-8400. Or go to pkag.com. CA. Now, stay tuned after the break. We're going to discuss how the baby boom generation is reshaping the housing market in retirement. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.